Hi, guys.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
How are you?
Doing well. I'm great.
I am.
Interesting. How about yourself?
Good, good. I was talking to Uncle Rick now and getting caught up in his world.
How's he?
He's doing great, yeah. He's doing fine. He finally listened to me. He said, "My God, Rob, you're right."
On what part of his life? Well, what are you listening?
So, you know, I told him there were four groups that we need to concentrate on, right? I said, artificial intelligence and robotics. I said, you need to be in technology, obviously, other technology. You need to be in selective biotechnology, and you need to be in real estate technology. And you need banks, so that's five, I guess. So you need the banks, you need interest sensitive. And he said, "Rob, it's unbelievable. You're hitting it on every single sector and the market's down."
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I said, "Right. You know, it didn't take a lot to figure out, you know, watching this for the last 8 years where we were going. But I think we were a little early on the artificial intelligence, but that is now the hottest sector of any." And so he finally bought that portfolio I put together and is finally making money on it.
What's the portfolio of the AI?
I just put together a portfolio of, I showed it to you, remember? We put it together between David Fogel from Boston and MIT and you guys, Merrill.
So it's the one that we bought about a year and a half ago. Palo Alto Networks, bots.
Right.
And,
the other sector.
It's the one we worked on a while back. Got it.
Right, right. And I forgot. The other sector is the Palo Alto, you know, in that group.
Security.
Security. And the one that I didn't buy, which I still would like to buy, is Proofpoint. Okay. I know it doesn't probably show up on your list yet, but it will. And that sector is really red hot right now. Still strong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Some of them are a little bit overheated, it appears.
Yeah. But Rick said that even the margin is high, short interest is low, the bulls to bears was like 25%.
You mean on the contrary indicators on the market overall or on that?
Yep.
On the market,
On the market overall.
Yeah, it's come back down. We've got the bull bear indicator where over 8 is a sell, and it got up to 8.6, and it's back in the sixes now. Definitely a lot of the fluff has been taken out of the market in the last month.
Let me know with an email when that gets to that sell indicator, okay?
Okay.
And I would tell all, even though you don't necessarily, you know, want your clients to panic and sell or anything, I just think it's a smart thing to say, look, our indicator has hit 8 point, which is the point where, you know, the firm is saying, historically, that is an area if you want to take some profits and need some cash or you want to give away some stock, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
It's an important idea because the worst thing in the world is to hear on CNBC that Merrill has their sell indicator has been triggered and they're selling. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, prepare for turbulence, basically. The captain's coming on. No reason to be alarmed. Stay seated. So fasten your seatbelt for a couple of months because things are a little bit overheated.
Right. Look at us.
And if you do need short-term cash, now may be a good time to get that cash out. if you have an upcoming
your foundation, outlet. Right, your foundation needs to give some money away. Now's the time. You need to give some stock away. Now's the time. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not a panic situation. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's a rebalancing time, you know. Normally we rebalance, you know, every year or every 6 months, but this is an opportunity for us to rebalance. So what we're doing is just going to raise a little cash here. And that's particularly attractive in retirement accounts where you don't have to, pay taxes. So you can rebalance for the whole account out of the retirement account and not pay taxes.
Right.
Right? Just treat it as one big account.
Yeah, right. that's what we've done with Rob's portfolio since we managed it. Just try to look at all, and now even including the GRAT, all is one big holistic portfolio.
Yeah, and I kind of think of that as you know, like the bull bear indicator is like a technical sign. I thought it was interesting that even during the volatility in February, the global wave still rose. Rob, I don't know if you're familiar with the global wave. It's another indicator that Merrill puts together.
No, I don't. What is it?
It's a fundamental indicator. Trent can give you more detail.
It's a global aggregation of economic statistics that gives you basically is the economy growing or shrinking in the world. And it's Nigel Tupper, who's our most reliable and great reputation as far as quant. So you're just looking at the numbers. But the global wave, the global economy has been growing. It bottomed in July of 2016, the Brexit bottom. And it's been a pretty good indicator, leading indicator as you look at it historically, of stocks. And then specifically what they identify them as boosters and bunkers. And when the economy is expanding, you want the boosters. And they're the type of companies you're mentioning, the industrials, financial, technology, especially those niches. But it's been expanding, and that was their report last month that said, they said it's raining while the sun is shining. Basically, the economy is good, but we've got a little bit of a market storm happening.
Yeah.
But it's been rising. That's a good sign. And that, yeah, to Tyler's point, that's what we look at more fundamentally long-term, and then balance the short-term with the bull bear, with the more dynamic, the more tactical indicators, the more short-term indicators.
Yeah,
I
just think it makes you're doing the 12-4-2s anyway, right? So you're talking to people, so you give them the indication that you're really paying attention by actually taking, even Trent, I've always said, you don't have to take a lot of action. Just some action makes the client go, oh my God, they are really, I have the best team in the world. Tactically, they're strategically, they're brilliant, but tactically, they have time for me, you know? So I just think that makes you, I always said, your job as a financial advisor is to make the client feel really smart.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay? And you never want them to feel dumb, like they missed something they should have not missed.
Okay. And it's counterintuitive on our part because, number one, it takes a lot of diligence. But a lot of times it takes us admitting that we got it wrong and we need to change our view. We need to. So it's a kind of a counterintuitive thing. I think you appear smarter if you actually change when the fundamentals change and you're honest with people and just tell them, hey, the fundamentals have changed and this is the way we see things right now. So making
right.
it feel smart is always change. It's always a moving target. That we have to really be diligent and see what we believe and then communicate that in an efficient way, in an effective way to clients.
So one of the things that I wanted you guys to work on is the Centers of Influence and the Mastermind Group. Did you make any progress on that or is there something have you made any progress on that?
We've summarized and we have the targets down, and I put an invitation out to an accountant, but actually one of our clients did not hire the accountant due to their fees. So we have not it's a firm here in town. So I have not scheduled. They said to just reach out after tax time, and I'm not certain that that's the right person to go with now anyway. But I did get the two from the – I spoke with a client this morning who did not want to go with that accountant who I was going to meet with, and they found an account that's much more reasonable, and also they have a high – they do enthusiastically endorse their attorney. So I've reached out already on LinkedIn to both the attorney and the accountant that the client mentioned on the call this morning. So the awareness is there, but quite honestly, I attempted to schedule but have not gotten anything scheduled in the past week. Tyler did put something on our team tracking document, though. This is our team goals where we keep everything. And in business development now, we have all of the people categorized. We have all of them listed, the centers of influence. And then we also have them categorized separately in Salesforce. Of one center of influence list that we can break out and sort. And we also have, we've got a full list of all the accountants and attorneys with the, are they enthusiastically endorsed or not by the client. So we have all of that in OneNote now. We've got all the information compiled. We have made progress on that. But
that's important.
Yeah. So we're getting organized to do it. And then we opened a $2.3 million account. We got a
good.
And Tyler has had some really good meetings from a prospecting standpoint.
Yeah, I've got three new households that we basically we pretty much closed last week. So that was a good week for me. They're not going to be world beaters. One of them's probably $750,000. Another one's going to be about $750,000. Another one's going to be primarily a mortgage, but he's young. He's going to be a really good client down the line, and so that gives us an opportunity to make that one a qualified household as well. So.
Right. And that's how we're partnering with the bank on a lot of the smaller accounts, too, with Edge, that we can turn the servicing over to them once we get the accounts opened and funded. What I was going to request today, Rob, I've been asked, I've got a call at 2:30 that is a person I rarely get to speak with, and I was going to pick your brain if I could, and for 15 minutes, I'm going out to speak on FAS CEO. They have a new program of how an FA should think as a CEO, and just pick your brain on what do you think FAs need to hear to be more like a CEO. And then I thought after that, you and Tyler could speak as long as you can on his prospecting and do a little bit more of a deep dive on if that works for the two of you.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Here, let's talk a minute about, okay, so they're seeing you as the CEO of your company, right?
CEO of my practice. So this is an FA. This is a peer-to-peer Merrill Lynch program. And I'm going out to speak with about 100 FAs at a meeting called FA as CEO. So they're trying to get FAs to think more like a business owner. Yes.
Okay, so here's the key, accountability, okay? This is the key for you. It's the key for them. So first of all, you have to get organized before you can be accountable, right? Because how can you be accountable if you're not organized? Meaning, you know, if you're going to the gym, when are you going to the gym? What are your appointments? Who's your trainer? What's your goal? It's exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get organized? How do you organize your team?
It should include role definition.
Yes. So you can use the 5-star model.
Right.
Okay. So you roll that out. Everybody knows. Right. Everybody knows what their jobs are, what their responsibilities are. And so, and you set your goals for each one of those roles and responsibilities. So how many plans are we going to do? What's our goal this year for our implementation process, meaning what's our 24-month calendar? What are we going to talk about when? What are we going to talk about with our clients? Then Supernova in terms of brand management, marketing, and then leadership. Okay, so use that 5-star model. That will help them to understand everything that should be included in their practice. And then show them how you set goals in each area. Then on Friday, you have a meeting of your whole team, and you report in on each one of those goals. And, Tyler, you can make a spreadsheet out of that and just put it up there and say, okay, report in. This is what we said we'd do in planning. How are we doing versus that? Mm-hmm. This is what we said we'd do in implementation and streamlining, supernoving our investment process. How are we doing in that? So we don't have too many managers. Average FA has 300 mutual funds. Okay? So they got to supernova that. Get it down to, you know, 30. Or whatever is a reasonable number, right? You do the matrix. And before anybody can come in the matrix, somebody's got to go out. So it's very concrete and very controlled. So then in supernova, you just, the person in charge of supernova says, we're doing great. Everybody's scheduled, everybody appointments, everybody's following up, life is good. We're doing great. Operationally, all the problems are solved. Everything's doing great. So you take brand management and divide it between service and operations. Okay? It meaning servicing the clients 12-4-2 as compared to problem solving. In marketing, you've got your 7 different strategies for marketing. Now, you may not need use them all right now, but you have them all. And that person reports in on the Friday meeting with the results, meaning you opened a $2.3 million account, a $750,000. Your assets went up by this amount. Your revenues are, you know, your marketing is good. Then the leader reports in on the other important things having to do with our revenues were this week versus our goal of this, okay? And we're doing great on our assets. We're doing great in terms of every one of our teammates is following through. Everybody's reporting the meetings on time. The team is working very efficiently and effectively together. Just as if you were reporting to a board of directors.
Something
now, the Monday meeting, and you don't have to have that on Friday. You want it Thursday afternoon because people take off Friday hard. But you have to have, that's your scoreboard meeting. Okay, just like you're looking up at the scoreboard in a basketball game or a baseball game, you need to know what the score is. So that tells you what the score is every week, so you don't end up 3 months down the road and be behind in your goals.
Hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And then in the Monday meeting is all about activity. And if we get the activity right, I had a young gal. I said, I want you to have 8 meetings with new prospects a week. She goes, holy crap, that's a lot. I said, yep, you need the activity, okay? I said, you hired me to help you grow because you're stuck? I said, 8 meetings. And so she's not having 8, okay? But she's having 5. You know how many she was having before?
Zero.
Mm-hmm. Right. She had some things wrong in her head, right? She was framing things wrong in her brain about what she was doing and why she was doing it. So we got all those things squared away. And now all those problems she had are all gone. Trent, here's the thing. People will, when you talk to them about their business, they come up with a list of issues. Okay? Management sucks. The firm's terrible. I'm going to become an RIA. I got this problem. They won't do this. Da 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 da. Okay? I coach them. The problem. Right. The problems are gone. Right? Why are they gone? Because they're too busy to worry about that crap.
Right. With people scheduling appointments.
They're busy doing their job, right? So her problem, she didn't have a sales assistant. The team she was supposedly helping and being on was taking advantage of her. Da, da, da. All that crap is gone. You know what she's doing now? Bringing in $2.5 million accounts, $6 million accounts, and she's killing it. All right? And she got up and stood up in the meeting. I had 2 women I was coaching at Carl Gable. They both stood up and said, look, basically we were lost and now we're found. We're having a great time. We're killing it, and life is good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. and it was terrible before because we were both scared little girls, okay? And now they're not.
How gratifying is that for you as a coach?
It's wonderful. Four more people signed up right there. I mean, it was like crazy. I had five teams I was coaching. I came back 6 months after I started coaching them. The five teams stood up, all of them, gave amazing testimonials. And I hardly had to say anything. And I went, I came back and they, four more teams signed up. So I'm having a hell of a time keeping up with it. I've got six calls today. I'll have six calls on Wednesday. I have no more room. But basically, we get rid of the crap. So people are going to tell you a lot of stories about why they can't run their teams. You know, there's...
Yeah, I've heard it called head trash. It's stuff in your head. And just stories you're telling yourself that aren't accurate, that are distractions.
And they're not in the best interest. Right. So the Monday meeting is all about activity. And so you do what you just talked about doing. All right, let's figure out what the activity needs to be in order to generate the assets that we need. And it's not a short-term thing. So you get credit for your board meetings. You get credit for your LinkedIn activity. You get credit for meeting with a center of influence. You get credit for asking for an introduction from an existing client. But if you don't ask, you don't get credit, okay? And then you add up your credits and see if you've done your job that week. So you say, I'm going to set a goal of having so many credits this week, right? And every time you ask for an introduction, even if you don't get it, you get a credit.
No,
you say, I want 25 credits this week. So I got to have 25 activities. You get on LinkedIn and you make so many. One of my guys is just trying to make 250 introductions on LinkedIn every day. He's a madman. But you don't need to do that, but that's what he does, you know.
Yeah.
Other people are having meetings with centers of influence. Other people are, one guy formed two mastermind groups. Okay? But get your head around the idea of the activity. Your brain will take care of making it effective and efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, just thinking about growth lately has gotten us going a whole different direction. And rethinking the team in general as far as just what we're spending our time on, what can we do, what are we doing that we don't need to do right now, getting more efficient to free up more time for prospecting and relationship development. And a lot of that is with the CAs, where they're building such strong relationships with the clients that it makes it easier for us to, that's what someone mentioned today, they have some assets outside, and it's her, I was talking to the husband, but it's the wife's dental practice, money at Raymond James, and just he's working on convincing them to bring it over here because our service is so much better. That's what he mentioned two times, the service. Your guys' service is so much better than theirs. The responsiveness, we've got the assets there. Or the physical assets, the human assets, I should say. We just have to eliminate the distractions, get more efficient, and focus on it. And I love that idea of keeping score, of tangibly looking at it every week. How many hits, how many assets?
Yeah, how many asks did you actually, how many did you get done this week? I don't care how many, how many successes did you get. How many times did you actually ask?
Yeah, and the great thing about that is you're focusing on something you can control. You can't control the outcomes, but you can control how often you ask. And the more you ask, it's always been a numbers game, a contact sport. The more numbers.
I mean, give yourself credit for asking for more assets.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take it.
Yeah, because there's a case, right, where the person has assets away.
Mm-hmm.
You write it down. They said they wanted to do it. You follow up and say, hey, I'd love to have those assets. What can we do to make that easier for you?
Right. And we can believe it because we're trying to simplify their life. We're trying to make their life better. Their life is going to be better if we're watching this rather than the other firm who's not watching it. They just happen to be sitting there.
Right.
So your thoughts on the CEO is it's all about accountability. Get organized. Get a weekly meeting on your measures. Get a weekly measure on your results and a weekly meeting on results and a weekly meeting on activity.
Right. And if you get that right, you've got it. You've got everything that you're, and you're going to hone down your meeting, okay? But if you don't have the meeting and you don't have the activity board, you don't have the scoreboard, you're going to fudge it. You're going to not hold yourself accountable. So what's the job of the CEO? Communicate.
Communicate a positive vision.
Correct. Communicate, set goals, and hold people accountable.
I like it. Thanks, Rob. Well, that's always great.
I told my managers they had two jobs. Okay? One was to coach their FAs, and the other one was bring in new FAs.
Yeah.
And I said, don't be confused by the CFO. Don't be confused by your critical few objectives. I said, because there's only two for me. Coach your FA, increase your productivity, and bring in new FAs.
And you'll hit all your CFOs.
That'll take care of everything. It's like people say, how do I improve my practice? I said, just do supernova, for God's sake. Just do supernova in segmentation, organization, and acquisition, right? Just do that, and everything is going to be taken care of. Unless there's something else that you know about that happens in a practice that I haven't thought about, which
I don't know. 35, 40 years in the business.
Right, 45 now, okay?
45.
Think about it, right? 1972, 48, is that 46 years?
Yes, that's great. So did you fly a total tangent? You flew a Northrop plane, is that right?
Yeah, Northrop Grumman, yes.
What kind of
Grumman? Grumman F2.
I just wondered that since we spoke.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
Well, somebody sent me a video on a DC-3, and I said, I flew that, too. Not all the time, but once. I flew it out of Andrews Air Force Base, and we lost an engine. We lost the right engine.
That makes it exciting.
That's like the worst thing that can happen in your life, is losing an engine on takeoff. But fortunately, we were very light, and the aircraft was overpowered, and we brought it back, and we landed it. And both walked out saying, thank God.
Oh, yeah. A new level of appreciation for life. Brown. Yeah.
No, I know.
I had a quick question. You mentioned last time it'd be a great goal for Tim and I to be working for 50 clients max. Jeff Erdman says 30. I heard him speak. With Tyler and him servicing the clients more in the probably $500,000 to $3 million range, what is a good number for him to be able to
earn
max? But right now it's 12, so there's a lot of upside. But go ahead.
All right, I'd rather make life harder for Tyler and make him have the same minimums that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'd like Tyler to work on, I know you've had some fun working on smaller accounts and bring them in, it makes you feel good. But with the firm having a $2.5 million minimum, $750,000 clients are good for Merrill Lynch, but they're not great for your team because it means more work and dilution of your practice. So you should have a absolute minimum of, let's say, $2 million and a target minimum of, $3 million or something. You don't need to have the $10 million target, but you shouldn't have, you shouldn't be bringing in under $1 million. Even though maybe if they're a CEO of a company and they're going to be bringing in tons of money, great, okay. And I'm not denigrating your work, but you're working for a high net worth team. And therefore, your minimum should be very close to theirs.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
It just means you're going to have to work harder, okay? It doesn't mean you're not going to be successful. It just means you're fishing. When we go fishing for big grouper and big, these big fish, okay, I'd have to go out, instead of going out 10 miles, I have to go out 40 miles in 150 feet of water. But what I get is huge fish, okay? So it's harder to get there, but it pays off when I get there.
Yeah,
and you gotta go find the deep water where the fish are.
Find the deep water. I like that. So I'm gonna let you guys take it from here. Thanks, Rob. That's always good.
Okay, Trent. If you need any more,
we just really gets me fired up. This is great.
And then we'll talk some more about being the CFO for your client who is the CEO.
Uh-huh. So that's okay. The ultimate. That's where you really want to. And that there's an interesting, I don't want to get another tangent, but there's a really good thing out there called Story Brand, and it's about repositioning. FAs want to be the hero of the story, but you need to make the client the hero, and we are the guide. And that is it's definitely a mind shift of putting them in the drive, of them being the CEO, and we're the CEO, we're their support person.
Right. You're the CFO. You're in charge of their money. You're the chief financial officer. So you handle debt management. You handle asset management. You handle everything communicate. You handle the business side of their life. Help them make better decisions to have a better life. Okay? But they're in charge. You're not the COO. You're the CFO.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay. I'll let you guys take it from here. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, Tyler, what are all the questions you'd like to ask that you've never had a chance to ask?
I'm not very shy, so usually I'm not afraid to ask them.
Okay.
I mean, for me, it's just to focus on growth, right? I mean, I have no capacity issues or nothing like that. I guess, you know, my only fear, I suppose, in trying to bring in these larger households to start is I don't want to be a leech on their book, because I agree, you got to fish in deeper water. I guess what makes me nervous is it takes a lot longer to get to that deeper water, right? So it takes a little bit longer to reel in those big fish, I think. And maybe I'm wrong, but
How long did it take you to get the $2.3 million?
Oh, well, that was one of the, you mean the three I just closed last week, or Trent's one?
Whatever you, it sounded like that was yours, but that wasn't. So you closed the three, though, right?
Yeah, I closed three households, probably all together about two.
Okay.
$2 million.
Okay. So what's the biggest account you've closed?
$2 million.
And how long did that take you?
Oh, gosh. Year and a half.
Okay. And how long the 750?
Well, one of them was pretty quick, 2 or 3 months.
Yep.
I guess that's pretty quick from a cold call. Another $500,000 one was about 2 months. And then the other one was pretty quick as well, maybe 3 or 4 months. Maybe I'd give that a little bit longer, maybe 5 or 6.
All right, so here's what I would tell you to do, okay? I would say spend 50% of your time on $3 million accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of your time on $750,000 accounts.
I think that's fair.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then gradually wean yourself off of the $750,000 accounts.
Absolutely.
Till you're spending 100% of your time on the $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because you answered my question. It probably takes a year and a half to open a $3 million account. And therefore, you need to live while you're doing that, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So what you need to do is you need to start today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to need a year and a half, so you've got to start today. So if you have 10 of those working now, a year and a half, you're going to bring 10 of those $3 million accounts in.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. And I agree with you 100%. As that's just, you know, I got to earn my keep first. And then once I have enough to eat ramen noodles and pay the bills, you know, then I can kind of start.
But the problem is you get sucked into the heroin of the short-term success. Okay? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Some people get sucked into elephant hunting, and then they never get anything. Okay, so both can be dangerous, but you've proven yourself. So you don't need to worry that you're not going to be successful. Now you just want to manage your time. And manage, you need to go, every week you need to go out in deep order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's going to take you 2 days to go in deep water. And it's going to take you, you know, in the meantime, 3 days a week you go into shallow water and you catch $750,000 fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So however you break it up, but basically 50-50 or close to that, so that you can have that year and a half and you're going to get that payday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have to constantly be, you know, dealing with lots and lots of small accounts that you're just going to have to get rid of eventually. I know to the world, $750,000 is wonderful, okay? But to these guys, they want $10
million. Yeah.
Okay, because that's who they are geared to service. The service they give is way too good for a $750,000 client. And they treat a $750,000 rollover like it's a $7.5 million account.
Yeah.
And it gums up the works. It's just, it's too much. There's too many accounts.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think, you know, whenever I'm prospecting, a lot of times I try to screen through it as best I can so that even my $750,000 ones, there's upside down the line. It's not somebody that's 70 years old and all income is these, and that's what they're going to live off of for the rest of their life. Most of the time, there's a business sale in a few years, or they're still working, or there's something to it. Because I agree, especially with them, it doesn't make sense to work hard and bring them in, and then in 5 years transfer them to somewhere else.
Right. But if the CEO or is it a CFO or some executive for a company, and they're going to grow. They're going to grow into you as you grow. That's okay.
Yeah.
But like you said, $750,000 rollover is not what you're after.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that. So, and one of my thoughts too, and I heard someone, I can't remember who I picked this from, and you guys may have talked about this before in some of the calls before I started jumping on, but they, before, if they know it's a good prospect, and before they go to that first meeting, they will take a folder and overnight it so that depending on the time of the meeting, either the morning of or the morning before, they receive, you know, a letter looking forward to this, thanks for the time, and then a pamphlet with all of our team stuff, and then just an agenda of what we'd like to talk about and all that. So that that is on their desk when we walk into their office.
I think that's great. Now, here's what I would do. I would then have a real client folder ready for them. Meaning, that's a great introductory letter, agenda and information about your team, right? That's a different thing. Okay, that's an introductory, let's call that an introductory package, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get that ahead of time so they know who they're talking to and they're impressed that you guys are organized. And then you've got the agenda. So when you're there, though, you want to have an official Supernova folder done with their, with all the information about them and the team and a place for the agenda and a place for notes. And you explain 1242 and how the service model works. And then hand them the folder and say, if you choose to be a client, this is the folder that we will use. This is the actual one. So you're really giving them something saying, we're kind of assuming you're going to choose us.
Yeah.
You see, and nobody in the United States is going to do that unless they've taken this course. So you're going to be unique in your presentation. This is particularly important if you're in a beauty contest where they've asked for you to do a presentation that three or four other teams presenting. This makes you very different.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
And then
if the client goes, it's all well and good, but my buddy has been my financial advisor for 35 years, and he's a great guy, and, we went to school together, so I just can't make the decision right now, but I appreciate what you guys are doing. Clearly, you're better than he is, but I just don't feel comfortable yet. You say, look, why don't we just do this? Why don't we pretend you're buying a very expensive car, Mercedes, Rolls Royce, whatever, and you want to drive it for the weekend, so let's just give it to you for the weekend. So we're gonna for the next 90 days, we're gonna treat you as if you said yes. And he goes, what do you mean? Well, we're gonna put you on the schedule just like we said we call every 12 times a year. So we'll have two phone reviews and then an in-person meeting every month for the next 3 months. And we'll just give you a sample of what it feels like to be a client.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, wow, you do that? Yeah, you're worth it. What else are you going to do? Well, high net worth guy, he did that, and it worked. $10 million client. Said, you've talked to me more than my other guy. He hasn't called in the last 90 days. You've called three times. You're going to do this consistently every month? Yep. Okay. You've given me enough reason to move. I'm moving.
Yeah.
But then you use some important thing. Marty Cohen taught me this. Immunization technique. You know what that is?
Huh.
Okay. He's going to say, but I have to first call my FA and tell him I'm moving. He said, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to call him and say, I've decided to move my account. And he'll say, why?
You mentioned this, yeah.
Right? Okay, so don't forget it. Now, when I ask you about immunization, remember it.
Yeah.
Space repetition. I'm allowed to, my job as a manager, I always said was to assume you're never going to remember it. And I have to tell you five times.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, let me ask you this. Like, the last week I had a prospect that they said they're moving, they're done, they're sick of their old advisor, but they want to give him the benefit of at least telling him that they are moving, right?
Yeah.
So it's not, this is why. It's just, hey, before you get the paperwork, I wanted to let you know we're moving.
Yep.
Would you even do any of that then? Would you say, hey, just a heads up, this is how that conversation is going to go? Or would you?
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you think the guy's going to say? He's going to say, why? He's going to say, why are you moving? I've done great for you. Why are you moving? And so you tell him. Because of, 1242, rapid response, financial planning, blah, blah, blah. The guy goes, I can do all of that. And you know what he's going to say? Ha! That's so interesting because that's exactly what they said you'd say. And my question to you is, if you could have done it, why didn't you do it?
Yeah.
Okay? So you've got to memorize that.
Yeah, that's something I need to ingrain for sure.
Because look, the words that I have that are just in my head have taken a long time to get in there. And so you need to practice these words and memorize them, make them part of your, and they're just like you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, they won't be there when you need them.
Yeah, I talk to myself a lot in the car.
So one of the things to do is to take this call, which is recorded, and say it in the car every morning coming to work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It'll put you in a good place, and you'll remember everything. You'll never forget. You'll be able to quote me.
That's scary.
I have an intern that I took to work every day, and he played motivational tapes on the way to work. Now, at age 50, he can quote all of those motivational tapes. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He's running a huge business out of Hong Kong right now, and he's 50. And he was my intern at 17.
Okay.
So anyway. Do that. Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm thinking.
Yeah. So always want to have something. Don't play music in the morning. Don't play news. Play a motivational tape or a tape on me or a tape, you know, record the audio tape of my presentation, but somehow get a tape so you can get motivated every day while you're driving to work.
Yeah, because traditionally what I've done so far is just listen to Bloomberg every morning. Just kind of know what's going on.
You don't need that. You don't need Bloomberg. I mean, it's nice. You can hear it once, but it plays over and over and over and over. Same. So you can, you know, you can get up in 20 minutes and listen to everything you need to know about Bloomberg Max.
Yeah. That's fair enough. So how, let's see. So for me, you know, I built a lot of it through cold calling and then starting, like you said, can you enthusiastically endorse so-and-so and starting to build that out.
Right.
A lot of the CPAs that I'm getting, the people are saying, hey, wait till after tax time until you reach out to them. Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, we'll be here.
Yeah.
It's kind of what Trent taught me to always say, hey, we're not going anywhere. We'll be here. Other than, I guess I want your thoughts on this. I've heard people say, and I don't know how exactly the intro would work here, but they've said that a great place to build, I guess, those relationships for business that most people don't think of is like a funeral home, because they've got one spouse that passed. Sometimes the money doesn't stay there. People are looking for help. You know, they're kind of distraught. And it's just another service that that funeral home could add. What are your thoughts on that? I know it's a bit morbid.
I'd rather work the attorney route.
Okay.
But I'm not one that says no because it's non-traditional. I mean, you can try it.
I haven't. I was just kind of, I don't know. It's one of those, I haven't, you know, it's kind of weird to cold call them or kind of different.
Funeral directors make a lot of money. I had one of my clients, one of my FAs, build this whole business on funeral directors across the country.
Really?
Yeah. They make a lot of money. Sure, yeah, they make a lot of money. Not as much today because there's so many cremations, so they're less expensive, but they make their money on the pre-sale of funeral arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Then that becomes a contract, therefore it's an annuity that they have to pay off. But they can invest part of the money. They just have restrictions on how it's invested.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And then you mentioned activity earlier. I already do you know, I make sure Trent and Kim, I keep my activity for the week, who, how many meetings I had, how many calls I made, how many, all of that. How would you suggest, I mean, you were talking about structuring something like that for them as well, right? So then they can
Absolutely.
Come back with, this is what I did for the week?
Yep. No, so, you put it on the, you get that, you get the board made up, and you put it on there what you did and have a place for them for what they did, and then they have to put their crap up on the board too. And you're gonna light them up. They're not gonna want to be embarrassed. Like, cause they're, you know this. They've been pretty happy, right?
Yeah.
They're not doing what you're doing. So you can be a big help to them by being a bit of an oops and getting them to increase their activity.
So where mine would say, you know, how many calls did you get out? How many this? Theirs would say more, how many times did you ask for an introduction? How many times did you
ask for more money?
How many times? Yeah. So just anything business development that probably wouldn't for them include a cold call.
Right, but it could be, you know, how many centers of influence did you meet with?
Yeah.
Did you meet with your mastermind group? Did you meet with your board of directors? So you have a column for each thing, for each week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're not going to have those, but you're going to have your columns, they're going to have their columns. Gradually, you want all the columns to look pretty similar.
Yeah, and I think it will. Like you said, it's just kind of timing and fishing in the right waters.
Right. So you want to have, there's seven columns, okay? This is called the game board or the giving board.
Okay.
And I call it the giving board now because we're giving. In each one of these situations, you know, you think of it as asking or getting, but you're really giving, right?
Okay.
So what are you supposed to do on a meeting with a center of influence? You're supposed to give. Right, so what do you want to do when you meet with your board of directors or you meet with a board on a, you know, a charity, right? You give. You give your time, your effort, you're helping people. It's always giving. People think, so we're not counting getting, we're counting giving in this board. So we kind of call it the giving board or the, you know, the game board.
I wonder if this would be worth setting up like a dry erase board and just keeping it behind the door or something.
Yes. Put it up behind the board and keep it there. Or put it on a flip chart and keep it behind the door.
Yeah.
Some people keep it out in clear view and they just use initials for everything so nobody knows what it is. But it's basically an activity board.
So you said seven or eight columns?
Seven columns.
Okay, so you'd have COIs, meetings with COIs.
Okay, all right, so the way it goes is you can remember it this way, 96, 4, 2, 2, 1, plus VIPSA.
Oh, my God, 90, so 96,
4, 2, 2, 1, plus VIPSA.
Okay.
Okay, so the 90 is the 90-day free look. So you want to have three or four people on the 90-day free look program all the time.
Two to three at all times.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Six centers of influence.
And those six centers of influence are meetings per week or?
No, but if you're going to meet with six people, once a month, think about it, you should have had one of those plus a little bit more, one plus every week.
So these are more monthly numbers here.
Well, no, in this case it's weekly, right? So you'd have one, it would be your goal for the week. One plus.
Gotcha. But okay. In your 96, 4, 2, 2, 1, the
it's
six
weekly.
Is one. Is weekly, okay.
Yeah, no, you don't want six. The six means how many of them do you want to have? It's total of six centers of influence.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Okay, but that just helps you with the column. So it's centers of influence is really the column.
So one okay, plus. Okay,
then now we have two twos, right? Two?
Yep.
This column is niches. Okay? So you want to have a meeting with a center of influence inside a niche. So for you, you could have four or five niches. But for somebody with a full-on practice, two niches is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a meeting with a center of influence inside a niche? So that's a good way to just remember that you're supposed to be focusing on niches, right?
Yeah.
All right? So then the next is it's 96, 4, I'm sorry, 4 is the mastermind group. I'm sorry, the mastermind group came before the two niches. So 4 people in the mastermind group is the idea. Now you could have 2 mastermind groups. Trent and Kim probably could have 2, but probably should have 1.
Okay, and so then you're meeting with them once a week, or
one a month.
Okay.
Mastermind group is one a month. If you had 2 of them, you'd have every other week.
Okay.
Okay, the 2 niches, and then 2 boards of directors. And you heard Trent that 30% of their business came from boards.
Yeah.
And it took him years for them to work out, but now he's in a fabulous position to just collect on all that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you can see planting the seeds now, they're oak trees. It's not corn, right? It's not corn. It's not going to come up right away. They're oak trees. They're going to get really big. But they're going to take a while to grow. So you plant those now and get into that business. And then the one... Okay, is LinkedIn, and that's an activity, and you're using LinkedIn now to communicate and find people, and it helps you, you know, find all the connections associated with such and such, and do you know such and such. And you can ask for introductions through LinkedIn all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a great tool. People say, I don't like LinkedIn. I say, are you crazy? It's all stuff we never had.
Yeah.
You can find anybody on LinkedIn. You can find everything about them on LinkedIn. Then Google them. You never could do all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a goldmine, but nobody uses, you know, the good guys, the big producers, they don't have time for that. You guys, with you, have time to do that and can become very efficient.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, and then the last is the VIPSA process, the value question that you ask, which is what is it that you valued about your experience with us this year, or what are the 3 things that you value the most from your experience with us this year? And then you go into asking for an introduction. So why don't we pick it up from there since we just ran out of time, and I'll show you how to do this the next week. Would that be good?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, it's interesting. I just read a study about that. I think MIT ran a study where they said you always ask, they called it the trilogy. You always ask for 3, and they said psychology tells you that the 3rd one that they tell you is the most important to them.
Very good. Where did you get that? If you can email me that, I would appreciate it, because that's very important. I teach it, but I don't know where I got it.
Yeah, you know what? There was a wholesaler that came in and said that MIT did a study on this. So I might have to email him and see if they published that. But yeah, so they studied all these advisors and everything. And they said the other interesting thing, they said there were 3 things that clients cannot stand about their advisor, the 3 biggest things that make them mad. And 3rd was that they feel like it's more about the advisor than themselves. 2nd was a lack of communication. And believe it or not, 1st was that they publish an agenda, but they don't send it out ahead of time. So the client feels stuck to the SA's plan. They don't feel like they have any say in the direction of the conversation.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the first was Lack of communicate, or second one's lack of communicate. What was?
Yeah, a lack of communication was the middle. The third, the number three, the third important one, I guess, was that they feel like it's more about the advisor than themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the most important one was they like that their advisor puts together an agenda, but they don't see the agenda until the meeting. And so then they feel like they don't have a say in the conversation or the direction or anything like that.
It's really important. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My next call just checked in, so I'm going to have to jump off, Tyler. Thank you. Good
call.
We'll
talk next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Amelia.